Consider it pure joy.
Happy, happy joy, happy, happy joy.
See if it sparks joy in you.
Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Welcome back to Consider It Joy. Let's just start here, Aaron. We need to talk about something right out of the gates today. This is, in fact, take two of this episode.
The good news here is for this episode is an Ask Me Anything or Ask Us Anything.
Yeah.
And when we tried recording this the first time, we went all the way through.
Yep.
There was some audio issues so basically no one could hear it. The good news is that there were more questions that came in, so we'll have more.
We do have a few other questions. Yeah. So initially we sat down and we had just the most thoughtful answers to your questions.
Yep.
We collected your questions on our social media page over at Afternoon Joyride. Only to find out, yeah, the settings were all messed up and it sounded terrible. So
these are all made up answers now.
I don't even know why we're telling you this. We could have just pretended we've never done this before.
No.
But we're going to be honest. We're going to be that transparent and authentic podcast with you.
Because we're the Afternoon Joyride.
So thank you for being here. So one of the reasons we decided to do this also is we've had like 22 episodes, each one tackling a different topic, and we've done some heavy stuff. The last one we did was on deconstruction, which is actually really, really good, and we've talked, are we in the last days? We've talked about church hurt. We just decided, let's do something fun, something light, kind of a little bit deeper into who we are. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through these questions. These are submitted by you, and do our best to give some, hopefully, interesting answers. And so I guess we can probably just jump into this thing, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start with some basic ones. We actually had from Digger. That is his name.
That's his name. A great name.
Yeah. It's a fantastic name. Let's start with some easy questions. One is ages. And then he follows up with if we could have any other job, what would it be? So
it's so funny. I'm trying to remember. What did I say last time?
I'm trying to remember my age. I have to go back and like, okay, what year? Okay, right.
So Digger, this is Aaron, 45,
mm-hmm.
and which I'm a very young-looking 45.
Yeah.
What other job would I rather have? See, I have other jobs already. I'm on television,
mm-hmm.
weather forecaster and anchor, and I am a worship leader. So if there's another job I would do.
But if all of those get wiped out.
Game show host. That's what I would love to do.
That's pretty good. I could see that. I could see you doing the game show host thing.
As long as the game didn't get canceled.
I am significantly younger than Aaron. I'm 43.
It's like 2 years.
It's
a year
significant,
and a half.
Man. That's a lot. A lot can happen in a year and a half.
It's true. Whole pandemic.
And I have a second job too, but it's also radio. So I can't really. I've actually thought that marketing, I know that it sounds like a boring answer, but in particular, like, I love the unhinged marketing. It goes all the way back to, like, when Old Spice started doing the weird commercials. I'm on a horse.
I love that.
That was the first time I was like, hey, I think I could do that. Or, like, what Wendy's is doing right now. If you don't follow Wendy's on Facebook.
I actually don't know what they're doing.
Oh, my gosh. So this is an actual term for it. It's called unhinged marketing.
Okay.
And the way Wendy's has been doing it for like a year now is typing the way that one grandma types on Facebook.
Oh, I love it.
So things are misspelled. It's always in all caps. She's always talking about meeting Barb later and stuff like that. I think I would have a lot of fun, just the creative side of marketing, I think. Oh, also, by the way, I forgot this question from Digger. He wants to know how long we've been on the radio.
Oh, so the show has been over like 11 years now?
It had, yeah, for the show we do together, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, radio 11 years, but did radio in college, but that's nothing. Matt's been doing this way longer than I have.
I've been in radio, I'm trying to remember I guess it would have been 2001. It would have been, I think that was my first year.
And let's see, now all of a sudden, now you sound old.
No, come on.
That's, you don't see it?
Year and a half difference. So that's, I think, Digger, thank you for those. That sounds, starts with a pretty good baseline, I think. So let's get into some questions here that might bring out some of the stories. We heard from Dana. Dana wants to know which artist or band has been your favorite on the radio show. Now, I feel like maybe we should make a distinction here because it's a specific question. We, you know, having done this for so long and we've gotten to do some really just cool stuff with artists, but she asked specifically on the show. So do we want to do maybe like a favorite just artist experience overall and then a favorite who has joined us, like sat down in studio?
So, yeah. So in
because I think we share one outside the studio.
We share one outside the studio. Yes, yeah, absolutely. The one in the studio is one I thought of late last time. So no one heard that one.
Okay.
Carmen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Carmen was is my favorite during the show because that interview was supposed to be like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It went an hour.
We did talk to him a long time.
Yeah. You know, Carmen is no longer with us. He had passed away from cancer, but he was a guy that for me, when I was younger, I really got into. My first ever concert was Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know who he is, look up the music video, Satan Bite the Dust.
Yeah.
That is epic.
Boy, that was big 80s Christian music.
Yeah.
I mean, he made
he
an
defined
impact.
It. There was a point in time he had the largest concert ever in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Was a Carmen concert. He outdid Garth Brooks at the time, Michael Jackson, U2, all those guys.
Complete showman. Yeah. So mine is actually way smaller scale. And I think this is my in-studio one. I really loved Laura Story has been in a couple of times. Mm. She's just an amazing human. But I guess the one that caught me off guard the most was Jonathan Traylor. You know, not a real well-known dude. But what stood out to me about him, so he had a song, is it I Trust in You?
Mm-hmm.
That we played. And that's really it. Like, there hasn't been a lot on the radio side from him. But normally, as the guys who are doing the interview or whatever, our job is to let's make the artist feel as comfortable as possible and welcomed. And just really, it's about them and making them feel like that they really had a good time and feel appreciated. Jonathan Traylor is the first person, him and his manager, they came in together, that ever went out of their way to be like, hey, what can we get you guys? Like, we're normally like, hey, can we get you water, get you something out of the fridge?
Mm-hmm.
They were going to get us something. And they were like, hey, how can we pray for you? What's really going on? Like, you guys good? Like, how can we make the show good for you? And it was just such a, maybe a part of it is when you do this regularly and there's sort of a rhythm to it and they disrupt that rhythm to the opposite and throw it back at us. It was really impactful to me.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Now, outside the studio, it's the band We the Kingdom.
Yeah.
They had a song called Holy Water. That was the first single. And the second it came out, we're like, we're playing it. This is game changer music. I loved it. And so we had on the radio like maybe a week, and they just happened to be coming through Bakersfield. And we went and had dinner with them. And this was so just, and then what's transpired from there is there was these two drunk guys that were not harassing us, but like,
no,
you guys are musicians. And
well,
they were,
and can I set the stage for it a little
sure,
bit?
Sure, go ahead.
So we were the last stop. They had done a couple of stops, I think,
true,
on the radio stations and stuff. And we had a good time, but it's getting late. It's dark outside. They're tired. They've been doing this and they've been doing promotion.
They came
all day
from Vegas that morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so we're basically kind of saying goodbyes. We're done at the restaurant. We're in the parking lot. And then, yeah, that's when you hear what Aaron's talking about. You hear this voice. You hear some dude, hey, you guys, you're the band. And, yeah, two very drunk individuals come over.
But next thing you know, we're praying with them.
Yeah.
And We the Kingdom, they just took their time. Ed Cash, the guy in charge, the dad, he just really just took the time.
And I think that's one of the things that impressed me, because there was a part of me that's trying to play, again, the buffer. Like, hey, these guys are tired. Let's try to help them get out. We don't, you know, they're ready to go. But, man, they were so gracious and so patient. And, yeah, it was that moment. That these two guys have been here just talking their ears off for a while. And that's when, yeah, Ed was like, hey, man, can we pray for you guys? What can we pray for?
And then after that happened, they're like, hey, you know what? Come on in our band. I want to show you the song. And the song hadn't even come out. It was called Don't Tread on Me.
Yeah.
And they just finished the chorus. They just wanted to show us what that sounded like.
We're like, such wow. Such a special night. Just
it was
really cool, because we got kind of that fun, nerdy side where we got to hear a song, but we also got to see the true band, the true heart of the band, mm-hmm, in that moment.
So go support them.
Yeah. Yes, please do. We love them a lot. Dana, thank you for those questions. This is kind of in that same arena, but the other way. Eric wanted to know, have you ever met an artist that was different than expected? Now, Eric, I don't know if I'm reading between the lines at all here, but if you're trying to say artists you've met that it didn't go well.
Who was the jerk?
Who was the jerk? And I'm happy to tell you this. We've actually discussed this a little bit in an older episode. A friend of ours, his name is Mike Couchman. We talk like myths of Christian radio. I don't think I've ever really experienced, if we're talking that, if we're talking a jerk, have I experienced people who don't want to do the interview? Yeah. And I don't really blame them because sometimes they were traveling all night or it's just, you know, it's a long day. Stuff like that that's totally understandable. So I've had that. If we're being more specific, I guess, to that was just different than expected, the one that came to my mind, I think it was my own expectations. I'm such a big Christian hip-hop fan. And Christian, the town we live in is just not a hip-hop town. I mean, it's just the hip-hop shows don't do well here. Mm-hmm. It's just not a big thing. I love Andy Mineo. Andy Mineo came to town. And so I worked on this. I was talking to the guys, like, point me to who I need to talk to. I want Andy in studio.
You all know who Andy is because he's got that song, Coming In Hot. It's just on like a fajita. TikTok, yeah. Instagram, yeah. Everywhere.
Huge, huge song they did with Lecrae. So I'm a big fan. Anyways, we work it out. He's able to come in, but he was extremely introverted. And I can't blame him because you have to understand also the world we're in, it's like contemporary Christian radio. Most Christian radio stations are not inviting the hip hop guy in because it's a different audience. I didn't care. I was like, whatever, I'm in charge. It's our show. I'm bringing in Andy. And to be fair, after a while, he loosened up. You know, he didn't know what to expect. He didn't know if we were going to be corny, cheesy, or if we're going to be weird with him. So, but that one was a little bit, I mean, I don't know if disappointing is the right word, but he was out of his comfort zone, you know, coming in here.
Mine's more recent. Like, I'm a fan of all these artists, but sometimes I'm like,
Yeah.
If they only change their music.
I'm a fan. I just wish you would change what you
like
do.
Just the style, or like they were great at the beginning, and then something. You know, I don't. So this guy Ryan Stevenson, his music's good. But then he came in the studio. He was just recently in town, and he came out of his way. Matt wasn't here that day, and he went out of his way to leave the venue where he's performing, came into the radio station on his own, did the interview, then booked it right back to the church where he's going to perform. In our conversation, we just totally hit it off. And I, you know, you hit it off with these people. But yeah. Then I was going to go to the concert, but I was going to leave. But I went and I stayed and I had such the best time. Because I got to know the guy. He was way different than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And huge, huge, huge fan. And his music changed. It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was really impressed.
That was really cool. It was too bad I couldn't be here for that one. Ryan's a really cool guy. It's interesting when you start to see the dynamics of the artists. And I'm trying to do this as a way that sounds interesting. We're not trying to brag or whatever. That's just a part of our job is doing some of this stuff. But you do see the difference between when they kind of have to be on, even at a show, mm-hmm. there's the meet and greets or maybe a backstage hello or whatever. But when it's way more casual and you're not on the microphone and everything, you know, there's not a rush, you start to get the real person. And that's where you kind of find out, like, oh, you know, you kind of connect with them. Or some of them you just get to know. Some of them you can become friends with. But it's a different thing once you experience mm-hmm. kind of that level, like it would be with anybody. Thank you for those questions, guys. Let's see. Let me mix it up a little bit. Let me change topics slightly. Mike wants to know... What is your favorite Karate Kid movie or show, and why is it The Karate Kid Part 2?
I like the idea of Karate Kid movie or show.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he said, so why is it not Karate Kid Part 2?
He says, yeah, what is your favorite, and why is it Karate Kid Part 2?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's, okay, man, that's pretty good. All right, so this is the first time I'm hearing this one.
Yeah.
So what might, so... What helps, Cobra Kai has done such a great job.
Mm-hmm.
That's connected to show. It's really made it great. I don't think I could say Cobra Kai
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh man, I don't know though.
Well, okay, so here's where I sit on it.
Go for it. I had to think about this for a second.
I kind of love it all. I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah.
But I think the first one for me is still going to, and I love the second and the third Karate Kid mm-hmm. movie. The fourth, yeah. But that first Karate Kid, I can keep going back to it. And every time, even though it's such a traditional, obvious story, I am pulled into it. And I get excited. Mr. Miyagi almost makes me cry all the time because mm-hmm. I just love him so much. That's me. I mean, out of all, I love Cobra Kai. I'm very excited for the last season, which will be coming up mm-hmm. later this year, I think.
Yeah, because the last season as of this airing, it's when they all got to team up. Like, we got to see Mike Barnes team up mm-hmm. with Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence. I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they had to fight the bad guy. Whoa! I can't think of his name. But
Terry Silver.
I was so scared of Terry Silver watching that Karate Kid Part 3.
Uh-huh.
So 3 and 1 are really close to me. 1, yeah, the original is really, really good.
Yeah.
And plus it has, I can't think of her name, the girl, Allie?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the actress's name.
Elizabeth Shue.
Thank you very much. I thought she was the best female presence in all of them, and that includes 4. And 4, don't even waste your time in 4. Don't even do it. I tried.
The next Karate Kid.
It's just so rough, especially they have this segment where they're like trying to save a bird. Just dumb. It, at no point, that's like their version of the broken bonsai tree.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's their version. Stupid.
It is. It's difficult, you guys. I don't know if you've ever tried. Okay, here's a fun fact about it.
Okay.
I've been in one fight in my life.
Okay.
Okay, and I've done martial arts for a lot of years and stuff. Like, the one fight I got in was over these movies. And it was my senior year of high school. A friend of mine decided, dude, we're going to watch them all. We're going to watch all 4 movies.
Oh, when he said 4, what did
yeah.
he say?
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm in. Let's do it. So, I mean, it was, it was all Mountain Dew and Twizzlers. And we got to, I forget, I think we did 1 and 2. And somebody proposed, hey, let's watch the next Karate Kid. I'm like, no, are you out of your mind? We're watching these in order. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever you think, we're doing. It's like, no, we don't have to watch them in order. We're going to watch them all. Like, no, we will watch them in order. And we started. I think I punched him in the neck, to be honest with you.
Wow.
We watched them in order.
Yeah, well, you have to watch it in order. It makes sense that way. If you don't watch it in order, it doesn't. Not even the fourth one.
It's crazy
sense.
Talk. I don't know why. I had hair. I think he was pulling my hair. It was not an impressive fight.
And for, what's this guy's name who asked this question?
That was Mike.
Mike, by the way, Karate Kid 2, I need to point out, like, there's so many great elements in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it is. I think the one thing that pulls me out of it, the only thing, and it would be number one if this wasn't in there, the romantic relationship. Because I was still broken because he wasn't with Allie. That's the only reason. Besides that, 2's really good because it's life and death, man.
Yeah, it was.
Live or die.
Yes.
Honk.
Oh, man, I own... probably 3 copies of Karate Kid. I do have all 3 on VHS. I have, of course, the Blu-ray box set that came out a couple years ago. And I have, like, the cheap DVD version of the Karate Kid autographed by Daniel, Johnny, and Kreese.
I have on VHS.
Yeah.
Every episode of the cartoon.
Oh, that's...
of the cartoon.
Yeah.
That if you haven't seen the cartoon of Karate Kid, find it. It's hard to find.
I didn't know we were going to go so far down the Karate Kid road. Recently, in the last couple of years, I've started collecting the action figures from that line.
Those are so good.
They're so much because I had them as a kid.
They were
and
great.
They're kind of pricey to get them now, especially in the package. Forget about it. Mm-hmm. But they're that funny action figure style from the 80s where, yeah, they're not articulated.
No.
It's just stiff arm, stiff leg, but they do have the button to either chop or kick.
Yeah. And they came with like a piece of wood that you'd kick with it or a playset. It was great.
There's one I'm eyeballing on eBay right now. It's the one where he breaks. I don't know if it's supposed to be ice or glass, but it's so hard to find because it's such a little piece.
Mm-hmm.
$100 if I want to get that. Anyway.
That's a good buy.
If anybody wants to donate, I got a Cash App. All right. Thank you. Thank Mike. You, Mike. Let's talk to Kendra. Kendra, kind of back to like radio type stuff. Are there things that you as hosts have to do or places you have to go to, you know, promote the station that isn't your cup of tea? So, or maybe that it's interesting to one of you and not the other. Do you flip a coin to see who goes or just do it? I think that's a really good question. We do. I mean, we've been doing this a long time, especially this is more on the radio side, of course, than podcast side. But we've gotten to a lot of different events, a crazy variety of events. It's not just concerts and fundraisers. I don't know, man. I think for me, there haven't been any events that are like, nope, I don't want to. No, that's not true. I'll probably think of them as time goes on. But normally, if I don't want to go, it's more about I'm tired. It's more like I just to get asked to MC something or be present is always kind of an honor because they're thinking mm-hmm. of you. But there are times where I'm just like, man, I've had a busy week. I really wish I didn't have to go do this thing. And that can be all fill in the blank, almost anything.
As of this recording, I'm thinking of the two things I have to MC this weekend.
Yeah,
it's funny because we both love, we weren't in radio, so we'd be at every Christian concert. We were there. We'd be front row.
Mm-hmm.
So
drive for hours to go see them.
Yeah, and now there could be a concert that's 10 minutes away. I'd be like, I got to introduce? Okay, I'll walk out afterwards. It's funny how that's happened, but everything has nothing to do with the event. It has nothing to do with the people or the band. It has everything to do with Matt said. I'm just tired, and I want to go home.
Yeah,
I don't think it's about being a fan. I think it's about being an adult.
I think you're right, but it also
having
does
family,
and it does tie into when it's a little more every day for most people. So, like a concert is, this is the thing you're building up or working towards because mm-hmm. you get to go and enjoy. We have to work, even if sometimes the work is fun. But I'm thinking of Sean Chandler. We've done a couple episodes with him talking about movies, and I remember we asked him, are you able to ever just relax? Like, is there a movie you watch to just relax?
Yeah.
He says that's really hard because his job, he's a movie reviewer. And so he's like, even that it doesn't feel the way it used to because that's the everyday job. It's what he does.
I feel bad for Sean.
I know. Because I still love movies
so much.
The only thing I would say, I guess, Kendra, and I get an easy out on this one. Our station is a nonprofit, like a 501c3. There are some political events that happen regularly here in town that I don't want to be a part of. If we did the 501c3, the reason I mentioned that is because it gives me an easy out. I can say, hey, and it's true. It's like we're a nonprofit. We can't do anything that ties us to a political thing. If we didn't have that, I still wouldn't go. Yeah. Thank you. That was a really good question. I was skipping around a little bit. Let me make sure that I don't miss any. Sherry wants to know, what is the median monthly income for a radio host? And then the average hours that you work? And then who's the highest paid? A few levels to the question, Sherry. Let's see what we can do with this one.
Okay.
I had to look it up. Because
I'm glad you looked it up because I have no idea.
So median, I'll tell you the annual median for a radio DJ is $46,000. Now that is never going to be something you would see stepping into a radio job. Like as a first timer, if you're stepping.
It's more?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. No, you would have to work up to that point. and here's the tricky thing about it. And that's. Assuming a 40-hour work week.
Yeah.
There is almost no one, at least if you are starting now, that you can go work as a radio DJ and make ends meet. And it's not just because of that median salary. It's because nobody is hiring for that. Mm-hmm. If you're getting hired at a radio station as full-time, you're doing something else as well. So for me, I'm the program director. So basically anything that goes on the air at the radio station is my fault. So So that's kind of like a sort of a mid-management type level. But I also have other stuff tacked on. I do our production, so concert spots and things like that that come up. And it's a small staff, so like any kind of business with a small staff, you wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm.
So most radio, you might make more than that, but you're also doing more than radio DJ. The chances are, if you are going to work only as a radio DJ, you are either part-time or you're working remotely, which is probably also part-time. That's huge. You have people all the time that are, their job is they work for five different radio stations and they record their shows because they could never make a living on doing just one.
Sorry, once again, what's her name? Who asked that question?
Oh, that was Sherry.
Sherry, what you really asked is, how much do you make? The answer, Sherry, is I work three jobs.
Yep.
So if that answers your question.
Yep.
welcome to California.
I work two of them, and my wife's working too. If that gives you
you got to work, you're doing radio, you got to work more, but you also got to be creative. I think in radio, podcasting to even television, you got to be really creative in order to push those boundaries to earn more doing something extra.
I think people will be really surprised, maybe not as surprised at radio, because, I mean, people are not clamoring to get into radio. When I went to school, I went for radio, and there was still a decent amount of people that wanted to be radio DJs. That same school, I'm in touch regularly with their communications professor. He's kind of a mentor of mine, and he's like, people don't do that anymore, man. He's like, if they come in for radio, they come in to do sports radio, or they're going through the program as like, broadcasting or being an influencer, learning the tools for stuff like that.
Yeah, learning tools now, I think, is the point. But it's so funny how it's sports broadcaster, because even in television, when you're going to school, people go to school, it's for sports. I'm like, what about weather? Anybody?
Yeah. It's not a broadcast. TV and radio broadcast is just not what you think. TV has surprised me, like, as I've learned more about it. Like, it's not, you would think you get to be on TV and everybody knows you, that guy's making money.
No.
Whoever you're watching, whether you're here in Bakersfield or somewhere else, they're not. Your local news people are not making probably what you think they are. And that's just the broadcast world. Just things have consolidated and changed. That's just how it is now.
And by the way, it's so funny too, because not all the time, but if you're listening and you're like one of these people who like ever said, hey, look, oh, there's that guy from radio or television, and they pay for a meal for you,
mm-hmm.
for me or for Matt or something like that, or coffee drink. Thank you, because we don't make enough.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of times you think, oh, they're in the public eye, they must make a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's not the case. So it's always humbling if that ever happens. So
I talked to somebody in the radio world. This was, I don't know, a month ago. Somebody that was on a very prominent radio network and was the voice and face of this for a long time. And talking to me kind of about what that was like behind the scenes and saying, I couldn't support my family. I couldn't. And it was just, it's really interesting. So as far as who are the highest paid, you're talking, it's not, you know, Ryan Seacrest,
mm-hmm.
Bobby Bones. These are guys, though, that's where a celebrity element comes in.
Mark and Brian, do they still do a thing?
I don't know. But Bobby Bones got...
Yeah.
Bobby Bones has a fascinating story. If you ever want to read about it, how he went from just regular radio DJ to a celebrity, it's a really fun story. He's a really cool guy. I think we have maybe a couple of more questions. Let's talk to Jeremy. All right.
Hey, Jeremy
wants to know, which movie sequels have actually been better than the previous? Okay.
Movie sequels better than the previous. Well,
so I think you're saying like part, you know, the second or third one or whatever was better than the first.
A lot of people will, here's two easy ones.
Okay.
Right out of the gate, and they're very, the originals are always considered like top tier. That would be Empire Strikes Back,
mm-hmm.
and Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Both of those two movies better than the original, I think a lot of people, everybody would agree with.
I mean, probably. I'm not as invested in Star Trek, but that seems like that's probably true.
It is.
Yeah.
But like, go back to Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think There's a good way that you could say that that is better than the first one, because they go out into, they do something completely different.
Yeah.
And there's more stakes. That's a good follow-up. I don't know if it's tough for me to put that higher, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard also to separate nostalgia sometimes, because sure, from a completely objective standpoint, I don't think anybody would argue, like you said, Empire Strikes Back is a very good example. Star Wars is amazing, and I love it. But from a storytelling standpoint, Empire Strikes Back. And from just a personal standpoint, Return of the Jedi has always been my favorite. A lot of people and movie critics, geeks, would be like, no, that's not, you can't put the, but I love it. That's how, if you, when people make me narrow it down to just one, what's your favorite movie? That's usually my go-to, because I just love Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of some other movies real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Lord of the Rings. It's a fair point to say Two Towers and Return of the King. Each one just gets better.
Yeah.
I always like going back to the first one, just the regular Lord
Fellowship.
Of the Fellowship is really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a good trilogy to base that off of. I'm just trying to think of any other sequels. I guess.
Oh, what about
Captain America 2?
I was going to say Captain
Winter
America.
Winter Soldier.
I was actually going to say Civil War.
Civil War is just as good. I find Civil War like, there's something about the punches in that one just hit.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the Captain America series, obviously Avengers. Oh, I really like Avengers 1.
Yeah. No, I think those are all pretty strong options. I'm sorry, my brain is wandering into some like real random trilogies. Was Best of the Best 2 better than Best of the Best?
Hey, man, those are worthwhile talking about.
First one is very good.
I want to make sure my bases are clear. I'm just thinking all of those other big movies, or doesn't have to be a big trilogy.
It's going
to
be the moment that I hit publish on this podcast. I'm gonna be like, Matt, you
should've
moron.
Said that one.
Why didn't you talk about, yeah. Why?
Sharknado 2.
Oh, Shark.
Is there a better Sharknado?
They get more fun. Does that count? In my book,
they get more
fun
outlandish.
Is
I don't know. I think the first one's better.
When you start having a gravity NATO, it's hard to top something like that, man. I don't know. I don't know. They might be. Excellent questions. I think I'm trying to make sure I don't miss any. I think we had one more.
Okay.
This was actually a friend of ours, Obadiah. Obadiah he's another podcaster.
Okay.
He's also another radio guy who I love. His podcast is called Light Roast Podcast, and they do it weekly. They talk about, it's more like trending topics and stuff, but they do it in a real relevant, light way. I think you guys check out Light Roast Podcast. So here's what Obadiah wants to know. If you could have any job in any fictional universe, what do you want to do?
Any fictional universe.
Any fictional.
Made up universe.
Yeah. It's funny because what comes immediately to my mind is still kind of what I do. It's announcing.
Oh, you know.
I think of the pod racer announcers in Phantom Menace. It's, I don't know if he counts as one or two people. It's a dude with two heads.
Sure.
But he's super fun. He's funny. And it'd be fun to announce the pod races because you never know. You got Sam people, one race out there that are taking out the speeders and stuff. I think I would love to do that job. And we got to one year, there's a dirt track, racetrack here in town. And we promoted an event and we got to go out there and they let us announce. I know nothing about racing. I've never watched racing. Like, it's not my thing at all. And I had the best time ever. Aaron and I got to put on the headsets and we're announcing stuff about the drivers, just making all kinds of stuff up. And I had, so maybe that's a part of the reason I'd love to do it.
What was the game we announced? Like
not
bingo.
Bunko.
Bunko. And that goes with his pod racing thing. That's just as good. You know, I can't think of a fictional world that, let's be, I'm a superhero. So I would say if I could be like a YouTube adventurer, like I get to travel the world and everybody will watch my show, what I do. So like my wife and I love to hike in the Sierras. Whole show about that. But you're also going to watch us go to Paris. You're going to watch us do just different, you know, travel blog stuff. And you watch it. And I don't have to edit anything. I just film it. Somebody else does all the work. Maybe that's the fictional part.
I feel like you're kind of reaching on that question, but sure, not why. And it actually reminded me. I totally forgot about this. I was trying to find who asked the question, but one of the questions that came up was to me. It's like, Matt, could you survive? I think that was you survive the hiking trip with Aaron? And that's what Aaron just referenced moments ago. So every year you guys do this. Was it 230 miles? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it ranges. It depends on the year where we start.
Okay.
220 to 240-something miles. And so that means you'd have to hike 20-something miles a day.
You carry
your food. You carry your clothes, which basically you're just wearing your clothes. And you're like, that's disgusting. That's it. Just one pair of clothes. You jump in the water. Don't worry. You'll be fine.
Yes.
You don't have to.
Scrape off the leeches. It'll be okay.
Yeah, you're good. I think he could do it. He would regret every minute when he got back.
Yeah,
And there would be a lot of regret during it.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, of course.
But well, you could do it.
And I know a part of it is, could I do it? I think yes. I think what Aaron said is probably exactly right. I see some of the videos and photos every year they do this, and it's just amazing views, beautiful. But 20 miles in on day one, I'm like, this was dumb. Why am I here?
No. It's the first three hours.
Yeah. No, I'm sure.
And you're like, wait, this happens to me every year. We go first 3 hours in, and I'm thinking to myself, I can still see the car over there.
It's not too late. It's not too late to turn around.
We have to go the other direction.
So what I would love is to not do what Aaron does to that extent. And since you guys have to make it like to your car on time, like that puts pressure on being fast. I would love, even if it was a week, but it's not 20 miles a day. It's like 2 miles. And then I get there, and then I'm just camped at a lake maybe not even a week. I want real plumbing after a few days, but
you gotta dig.
Couple of days. I don't want to dig. If I have to dig, the trip has gone too long. So,
well, you can only go for one day then.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
I mean,
a few hours.
Just one time. Anyways, I think we covered all of the questions. Thank you to those of you that chimed in that cared enough to ask. You know, we had sort of it's been a little bit longer since we did an episode, in part because we had Easter, so we took a little break and didn't have it out right away. So thank you for your patience on that and for letting us be able to just open up a little bit about our lives and what we do. By the way, there's a lot of other topics. If somehow this was your first episode, our apologies on that. We typically take on a topic, songwriting, or it might be a theological one, or it might be a movie or music-based one, and often we'll have a guest talking about those things.
One of my favorites, by the way, is around the holidays. What happens? How do you talk about that conversation when there's you're missing somebody that's not there this year,
or who's difficult? The person that you know, like Uncle Rico, is going to bring up politics at Thanksgiving.
It's going to happen.
That was a great episode. Yeah, so check those out, and please, if you haven't done this, so speaking of not making money as broadcasters, we don't make any money doing this.
So share this so we can.
Yeah, it helps. It does help. And even just to get it out there. So rating, especially if you use Spotify or Apple Podcasts, it lets you rate them. That actually pushes us in the category of podcasts that helps. And just hitting subscribe is a big thing for us. So yes, and sharing it to friends, whatever you can do. Thank you for your generosity with all that stuff. Thank you for listening today. This is Consider It Joy. If you want to listen to us through the rest of the week, you can on the radio at 883 Life FM. .com or through the 883 Life FM app, and you can find out all the ways to connect with us at ConsiderItJoyPodcast.com.